Okay, I had a subject here this morning that I thought that would help us to understand that there's one person that told me years ago, can God forgive any sin and every sin? And I thought to myself, well, you know, it's all under the blood of Christ. It should be forgiven, I would think, you know. But the sin of blasphemy, when somebody blasphemes, it means if they blaspheme you or blaspheme somebody else, it means they speak evil of. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's what it means, to blaspheme. In other words, to speak evil, taken away from God's glory, and speaking evil of God is unpardonable. And I thought, you know, I need to study this. I need to get into this. You know, at this time, you know, we can all joke about, remember the old story of four guys got together for Bible study. And he said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and learn to forgive and learn to get things right. And we need to share our sin openly. Be careful who you tell what your sin is, right? Because people are like, ah, gotcha. Now I got one on you. Owe me one, right? Well, the one guy goes in the Bible study, he goes, you know what, brothers? I got a problem with smoking cigars. Because nobody knows about it, but, you know, I sneak it. And they're like, oh my goodness, that's terrible, brother so-and-so. And the other guy goes, well, you know, I play golf on Sundays. That's why I never come out to church. And they're like, oh my goodness, yes, we need to keep that in prayer. And the third guy goes, you know, I got a temper. He goes, oh, you know, I yell at my wife a lot at home and I get so angry. And of course, the fourth guy in the Bible study says, I have gossip and I can't wait to tell people what you just told me. That's horrible. See, you don't tell people what your sins are. You know, that's just a big no-no. I'm not into telling jokes in the morning, but in the serious things, but you have to be careful. That can be forgivable, you know. You know, I've talked to people with loose tongues, and they say, you know, alcohol causes people to have a loose tongue. And you know, just be careful who you hang around with, who you talk with, and be careful what you say. Sometimes the person might talk too much because we're sociable. Like, my daughter, I talked to her the other day, and she's a social butterfly. She talks like the host. Well, she's a recruiter. For the Air National Guard. She's like number two spot in Alaska because she knows how to deal with people. She works with people really well. And, you know, she's gifted in that area. And I said, well, you know, way to go, Jasmine. Use that for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. So God has blessed her in that way. But when it comes to forgiveness and, you know, knowing this, that, and the other, that we need to forgive people, even forgive ourselves, like the saying goes, forgive yourself, go to that person. If you wrong them, ask for forgiveness, and then go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. There's three areas there. So looking at this context here and the background, also we find out in Matthew chapter 12 and Luke chapter 11, you have the same account in these other two Gospels of what happened here with Jesus. Apparently, the scribes had decided, and the Pharisees, we're going to bring somebody who's dumb. They could not hear. He could not see. So, and it was having a hard time of speaking too. Those three areas, and so they decide we're going to try to set this Jesus up. You ever had somebody try to set you up? Somebody try to test you your faith? But then you can claim Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. And, you know, sometimes you get those questions that come out of nowhere. You know, where did that come from? You know, and God gets your attention and you're like, okay, you need to be claiming, like it says in 1 Peter, that we need to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. So you have Jesus who's there ministering to people, and they decide to take this man who is demon possessed, because demon possession happened. A lot. Remember during the flood, it happened. It happened when Jesus was there. We'll see a rise in demon possession. And also, we'll see it right before the Lord comes back during the tribulation. There will be a high high number of people who were going to be, remember, as a Christian, you can be obsessed. I mean, you can be demonic activity. They cannot possess you. But you can be harassed by the in the demonic world. You can be as Christians. That's why we are told over and over again to stay in the Spirit of God. Stay in His Word. We're in a spiritual battle. We see forces that we don't see here that are present here with us this morning. We're entertaining angels unaware. Okay, we can't see them, we can't feel them, we can't touch them, but I'm sure there are angels present with us here this morning and everywhere we go. So they bring this man before Jesus. And so we see here in verse 22, and we look at the background here. And so verse 22, it says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub." It means has the idea of prince of demons, the lord of the flies. Okay, Beelzebub. All right. "And by the prince of the devils casteth he out, devils." It's interesting to know that a house divided amongst itself cannot stand. We look at us today as Christians. We cannot have one foot in the world and serve God in one world and one foot in church. It doesn't work. You can't serve two masters. Jesus says you'll hate one or you'll serve the other. You cannot serve mammon, which is money, and you cannot serve God. Why? Because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You get people get ensnared with money, get in trouble with money, because they think money brings happiness. I have met millionaires who've had more money. You know, I knew one lady who had about $200 million, and she says it doesn't bring you happiness. She was one of the most godliest people I ever met years and years ago. She's a wonderful lady, and yet she worked very hard for her and her husband, and she was going to teach her kids and her grandkids we're not going to get any inheritance unless they work for something too. But you have today, you have people who think that they can call God anything they want and live any way they want. It doesn't work that way. And we see in verses 23 and thereon, we're going to be looking at how Jesus replies in parables. Now you have to understand verses 23 through 27. A parable was a heavenly story with earthly meaning. Jesus has spoken many parables throughout the New Testament, and yet it was spoken to the people who believed they could understand them. They could understand Jesus at that time. The people who did not understand Jesus could not understand parables. It didn't make any sense to them. It's like the unsaved person, it's foolishness to them. They don't understand it. You know, all we can do is witness, share the love of Christ and leave it at their feet, so to speak, and let them judge and decide and make choices for themselves. And when they leave your presence, it's between them and the Lord. It works out in that witness. And so in verse 23, and he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables. Now this is Jesus calling them forward. Here they had this man who's demonically possessed. And like I said, Christians can be oppressed but not possessed today. And you have a lot of quacks out there, people on TV and the internet and casting demons out and all this other. It's not for real. It's not for real. Okay? And it says here, how can Satan cast out Satan? Now remember, Jesus is the pinnacle of wisdom. He knows all things, and it's godly. It's not worldly wisdom. And a worldly wisdom will lie to you, and it will deceive you and set you up to take you for a fall. It says here that how can Satan cast out Satan? Yeah, it makes no sense at all. You know, of course he wouldn't cast himself out. No. If anything, he wants to be the keeper or the ruler of this world. But thank God last Sunday we looked at Resurrection Sunday, and we looked at, you know, the resurrection happened and it conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because of that we are resurrected too with him. Without the resurrection, we'd be most people, like I said last Sunday, they can call Jesus either he's a Lord, or number two, he's a liar, or number three, he's a lunatic. And those three categories, you go out there and witness. You know, is he your Lord or is he a liar? I don't think, right. He's just Jesus, or he's a lunatic. He's crazy. But Jesus said this, God of love, God of salvation, the man of man, the man who went to die on the cross for our sins, who gave everything that he had for you and for me. And yet he died so that we may live. We owe our allegiance, our lives to him at the very least. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Of course not. We're looking at our country today. It's becoming more divisive because the people believe in globalism. People believe in the Green Deal and so on and so forth. And the woke crowd. And you have people who believe teaching children what their sex is. It all comes down to they want to eventually depopulate the earth. And so they're godless, and they're not going by what the Bible has to say. And so it's causing division in our country. You have people that are here that it's a Christian foundation, but it's not a Christian foundation anymore. But you still have remnants here and there, areas of light and darkness. The gospel is still being preached. You have a lot of people today that are on the fence. And it should not be so. Because people feel safer on the fence. You know why? Because they figure, oh, I can go on this side, I can go on that side. But eventually, they're going to have to make up with their mind, because when they die, it's going to be too late. Jesus says, you're for me or against me. And so the kingdom that divides against itself cannot stand. Verse 25, and if a house is divided against itself, a house cannot stand. You ever been in a divisive house before? You ever been, I remember years ago, I pastored one church, and this one family came out, and they were just a beautiful in church, wonderful. The kids were well behaved. As the saying goes, if you look at the kids, you understand the parents, what the parents are like. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. The kids make their own choice. Kids have good minds. They know what they're doing. So I remember knocking on the door, and there was explosive anger and shouting and yelling. And then, oh, it's the pastor. Quick, quiet, everybody. I felt sorry for him, but then I understood too. Everybody has their rocket days, Everything explodes, and we have to settle down, because we didn't take it to God. And so a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. You have to follow the leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches cannot stand. Politicians cannot stand unless if they're divided. And on and on. It goes everywhere in our life. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, everybody. Verse 26. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Of course not. He's God of this world. He lost the keys of death, hell, and the grave when Christ died on the cross. He still has a little time with God's permission to be on this earth. Like I said before, either we allow him or we claim our salvation and stay strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let him get the best of you. He's defeated foe. God has won the war. Amen. And you know what? We might lose a few battles. We are human. So, but he has an end. Satan has an end. And no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man and then spoils his house. So it's obvious. You look at wars and battles, the first thing they're going to do is go after their supplies, their food. Look what's happening in Ukraine. They're looking at the military strategy that's going on, going after the ports. Putin knows what he's doing. Unfortunately, the president of Ukraine wanted peace, gave him time to build up. And he's going to pick at that country. You mark my word, he's going to pick at that country And the rest of the nations are just standing by, for the most part, just watching them do this. Because why? Unfortunately, we have a weak president today. And I don't apologize to that. I like strong leadership. I thrive on it. I don't back off from it. Because you need it. People need a strong leader. So, Jesus saying, okay, look, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You get it? They did not understand it. They were looking at him, they were totally lost, because spiritually they were totally lost. It's interesting, what is not the impartable said. Verse 28 says, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven. And of course, here you have some self-righteous people. They thought, in the world's eyes, they thought they were all right. They were okay. Nobody can tell them what to do. It says, all sins shall be given unto the sons of men, and blaspheme wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Now, blaspheme, like I said earlier, speak evil of somebody. And speaking evil, as we're going to find out with the Holy Spirit, we're going to get to that in a minute here. But so what is not the unpardonable sin? We're going to take a pause here. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, grieving the Holy Spirit. That is not the unpardonable sin. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. It means God made a down payment on our lives, and if we grieve him, because God is a personality, okay, and God can feel, and God understands, and God can talk to us, and God does all kinds of things. Sometimes in our scope of Christianity, we just put him out there like, you know, okay, he's a spirit. Wow. Okay. And that's it. But he's not just that. But he came in the flesh. He understands. So it's not grieving the Holy Spirit, number one. God loves us. Romans 15:30 says, I beg you now, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God and forgive and for me. So we need to pray that we don't quench, grieve the Holy Spirit. Second of all is quenching the Holy Spirit. You know, again, God is a personality. God is a spirit. He has feelings too. It's all through the Bible. Okay? He's just not a spirit out there somewhere. Quenching the Holy Spirit. The word quench is the same word for putting out a fire. So God is like a fire. Like Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. It's like a fire that burns within me. Woe to us if we don't live right, because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. He dwells within us. We belong to him. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. So we need not put the fire out in our lives if we want to have a dull, mundane life and have a big cloud over our head, then just go ahead and do that. But if we want the sun, so to speak, to break through the clouds and warm us up and be filled with his love and his joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit that passes all understanding, then we need not to do that, to grieve or to quench. And we see number three, what is not the unpardonable sin, murder. Murder, that is not it. In Acts 7:58 says, and cast him, Stephen, out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. What happened to Saul? He went out and he wrote the book of Romans. He was saved by God's grace. He was a murderer. Jesus says that what you are in your heart, you are. See, I didn't go out and murder that person. I didn't commit adultery. But Jesus says the thought, you need to get it under wraps. If you have thoughts going through your mind and you're saying, oh, I didn't do anything. I got away with it. No, you didn't. You need to get it under the blood of Christ and ask for forgiveness. You don't have to go tell people what you're thinking of them or whatever thoughts was in the back of our sinful mind. Get it right between you and God. See what doors that God can bless and open up doors in your life. And the sun can come through. And it says here, and they cast him, Stephen, out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes of the young man's feet whose name was Saul. So remember Paul, he got things right there on the road to Damascus. He realized, he repented, and he realized, and God said, you're going to suffer a lot for me. Remember, much forgiven, much is required. Again, much forgiven, much is required. But remember, the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can abound. That means that it superabounds, that has superabundance in the idea in this language. It means supersedes anything we can ask or think. So don't ever think in our lives that God cannot forgive, that God cannot use us. And I'm to this or I'm to that. God can continue to use us. Just get back up and fight back the good fight of faith. Number four, the unpardonable sin is not adultery. Proverbs 6, 22 and 23. But who commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and reproach shall not be wiped away. So, you commit adultery. Excuse me. There are two types. There's spiritual adultery and there's physical adultery. And the spiritual adultery is like if you, go after the world. That's spiritual adultery. Physical adultery, which I've met a few guys in my life and a few women in my life, they did a pastorate. They said it scars you for life. It causes something that's different. Even though you're married and you ask for forgiveness, it changes you. God's forgiven you, but it's never the same. It's never the same. Sin is destructive. It's hellish. It's bent on destroying you. Stay away from it. Run away. Get around people that are corrupt with foul mouths. Get away from them or stand up to them. But you just can't stand there and just take the beatings. And if you have to, by the grace of God, pray. Pray. Because sometimes we're in situations where we have to take a beating. But by the grace of God, we can fight back. When God tells us to do, pray. Pray. And thank God we have a praying church here. Amen. And fifthly, the unpardonable sin is not the sin unto death. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. You say, what is the sin of death? It says, for he that eats and drinks, judging himself, not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In other words, there were people that were going in that worldly Corinth church that were drinking and eating and doing worldly things that they ought not to. In other words, there's no difference between the unsaved crowd and a worldly Christian. There was no difference between the two. And so many of them had died. The word asleep has the idea God took them home to an early grave, a sin unto death, because they kept on habitually sinning. You know, you have the fruit of the Spirit and you have the works of flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Well, obviously, there's a demarcation between the two. And God's saying you need to stay away from those sins and you need to be filled with the Spirit. I want to use you for my honor and glory. What is our purpose? To glorify God. So, we need to judge ourselves, like I was praying about before this message you were here this morning. We need to judge ourselves before God and saying, Lord, I need to clean my, I wouldn't say or act up. I need to clean myself up inside. It's one thing on the outside. It's another thing on the inside. God looks at the inside. The heart is more important to him. So, what is the unpardonable sin? Look at verses 29 and 30 in Mark chapter 4. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. It's interesting. They were accusing Jesus, saying, he's Beelzebub. He's the devil. Look at what he's doing. That is about as low as what an accuser, somebody can call you. Somebody calls your name that's not even true. That just, they're out to hurt you. People can do more damage with their mouth and cause divisions and strifes and tear down relationships. I've seen it. People cause church splits. People cause undue pain. And they walk away like nothing happened. Well, you know what? They're accountable to God. And if they have half a conscience, they would come back and ask for forgiveness. But we have a thing today called, it's called being self-righteous. be judgmental. We need not to be judgmental. We need to have a loving, discerning spirit. Big difference between being a judgmental spirit like these Pharisees and these scribes and these Sadducees and these zealots, these people worked in the temple. They were out to get Jesus because when people go after you, they usually want one or two things. One, they want what you got, or two, they want to destroy you. And there are people like that today. I don't know why people do that, but there are people I've met in this world today. Just, I'm like, wow, you know, what are they thinking? So, what is the unpardonable sin? Well, what is the unpardonable sin? Here are some candidates we can look at. A good example is found with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He hardened his heart 7 times. And then, you know, God hardened his heart 7 times. Remember, each one of the plagues back with Pharaoh was for each one of the gods. And God used that as judgment against Pharaoh, saying, okay, you want to worship these gods like in Jeremiah's time? Then fine. You know, what happened with the exile with the Israelites? Well, they went to a land that they did not know, a home that they did not know, and they could worship the false gods there. And until we remember the first exaltation, the first taking away of the Israelites through Babylon, it was 70 years. 70 years because they did not keep out of the 490 years, they did not keep the Sabbath every 7 years. So guess what? They were gone for 70 years. Times 70 is 490. And you had a whole generation of people. 70 years was a generation. You had these people die off. We have a remnant here today called the church. And the church has the idea here we're supposed to be multiplying and growing in his grace through his love and through faith. So Pharaoh didn't do what was right. That's one candidate there. We see also in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness and their lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth for a lie, worshiped and served the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. So you have also another candidate is for those who reject God, turn away from God, who turn to homosexuality and transgenderism and what they're trying to teach the little kids in schools today. And thank God there are some people that are standing up and saying no, like the Florida governor who has 3 kids in school, 2, 4, and 6 years of age. He said, I don't want my kids to go to public school. Listen to that trash. Would any of us want our grandkids or kids go to a school and have them teach what their sex is? God forbid. And so, but these people, it's all about the money. It's all about number two is globalism and Mother Earth and green culture. And they want to change things. They want to depopulate the earth eventually. They don't tell you that. And they also, they want to go ahead and they're keeping God out. It's a godless philosophy that our government is trying to push on people today. And as Christians, we need to fight back. If we don't fight for our faith, we lose our freedom. You've heard that expression before. So, worshiping the creature rather than the creator. You know, we talked about there with people who get into evolution. That's been taught in schools and, you know, it just goes downhill. So Pharaoh did the same thing, worshiping gods and terrible things. So it all starts with that. When people walk away, they become fools and their hearts are darkened and they don't want to worship the creator. And God gives them over to a reprobate that has the idea of a foul mind, destructive mind. And so, also we see that the ones that Jesus talked to, they were the scribes and religious leaders. They were clean, respectable on the outside, religious. Oh, I have met the religious crowd, the people that are so, oh my goodness, they're so pompous and so proud, and you would just be so overwhelmed to meet them. And you know why I didn't accept Christ originally? Because I saw the hypocrisy in churches for years. I don't have anything to do with it. I didn't. Because I saw people who claimed to be Christians that would live two lifestyles until God got a hold of me and realized I wasn't any better by His grace. There's nothing good about me either. God got a hold of me and saved me. I thank God for that. Because of the preaching of the Word and the Spirit of God convicted me. And by faith, I stepped out through grace. And I realized I couldn't work my way to heaven. So you have the hypocritical ones that are facing Jesus at this time, trying to find fault with others, seeing who could be better than the other person. Unfortunately, we have that a lot in our society, people trying to be better, you know. And it's all about pride, and pride is foolishness clothed with that. And also, we have cults. Cults deny the deity of Christ. You know, when I worked on my thesis years ago, I remember meeting people on the streets that were part of these cults. Many of them, listen to me, many of them used to go to good churches, but they denied the faith. They walked away. They know all about the gospel, but they've been lied to and they were deceived, and they decided, they made the choice to walk away from God and go their own way. But they deny the faith. And then nextly, we see they come from a Christian home who are candidates there for the unpardonable sin. Karl Marx was reared in a Christian home. His parents were Orthodox Jews that came to know Jesus Christ back in the 1860s, 70s. He came out with the Humanist Manifesto and the Marxist Manifesto. And it's everything that is anti-God in it. But he made a choice. I know preachers today. I know people who go to churches over the years have had their sons and daughters just walk away. They know the truth. They went to church. They can tell you everything they learned in Sunday school. They remember who was there. And it just kind of like could blow me away. I was thinking, oh, I said, no kidding. And they're like, yeah, and I don't believe in this anymore. And I'm walking away. And not only that, but they openly live in sin. Like it doesn't mean anything anymore to them. They're just walking on the blood of Christ, spitting on the blood of Christ. And I don't even like to say that this morning because that's disgusting, but it's true. And then also another candidate was, his father was a preacher. Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy magazine, had continuous access to the truth. And what happened to Hugh Hefner? A disgusting magazine that deprives women and so on and so forth. And he has people who are addicted to that garbage, which is no good, especially for Christians. Stay away from it. It's there on the internet. It's everywhere. Go into a store. Remember truck driving in Alaska? And I was hungry. Went into the store. And right as soon as I walked in, they had a whole magazine rack. I was like, oh. You know, it's like, you know, Lord, cleanse me. I don't want that garbage in my mind, you know. So I got something to eat and I ran out. I don't want part of that. But you know what? People can have the light of the gospel. They make a choice. They say, I don't want anything more to do with God. And I heard one guy say, I don't want anything to do with a blankety blank Bible. And stop talking to me about it. Get the blankety blank away from me. And you know where I'm at with this. Some of you have seen this happen in your own lives. And you walk away bewildered. It's like, what did I do anything wrong, first of all, or number two? And God's like, No, you didn't. They made the choice. Doesn't matter how old they are, they made a choice. You did what was right. You're not perfect. No parent's perfect. But you made the choice. Grandchildren too, great grandchildren, loved ones, friends, you know. And so you see that what happens as a result of your rejection of the truth. I'm going to quote out of Matthew 13:13 through 15, and closing with this. Therefore I speak to them in parables, seeing that they do not see, and hearing that they do not hear, nor do they understand. Says here, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing and you will see and not perceive. For the heart of the people has grown dull. Their eyes are hard of hearing, of seeing, and their ears are hard of hearing, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their and see with their eyes, lest they should hear with their ears and understand with their ears, so that I would actually heal them. So it gets to the point where people have gone so far away and say, you know, I'm praying. Don't ever stop praying for the unsaved. Let me close with this. Don't ever stop praying for the unsaved. But it comes to a point where they have gotten so close. It's like it says in Jude 25, it's like taking the brand out of the fire. You know, you're praying that, you know, you keep the fire as the idea of judgment. And never give up on people. By the grace of God, God's never given up on us. And so we see that God will allow them to go their own way. God, you know, when you witness to somebody, remember your first date? Remember the first time? Or whatever you had, or the one you wanted to marry, or somebody who you liked, or somebody down the road, and you made the first move. You wanted to get a respond back, right? And it was a beautiful thing, if it was so. If it wasn't, then it's not. The Holy Spirit's the same way. The Holy Spirit will prick somebody's heart, try to get somebody's heart. And if they don't listen, then it's not going to stay around. Love is never forced on anybody. You go out witnessing to people today, it's the same thing. It happens every time we go out to witness. You can't force it on them. God's love is giving. You know, love does not respect anything in return. God's saying, I want you. Here it is. And they're like, yes or no. Don't give me the maybe. Don't be on that fence. There's a lot of people on the fence today. They want to come so far and they'll say, I don't know. But God doesn't work that way. And so we need to go with Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While we can still find him. And the unpardonable sin is comes to the point where there's no more hope. God's saying, okay, for those reprobates, like it says in Romans chapter 1, they were even sinning. They found pleasure in their sins. They rejected God. They hated God. So God gave them over to a reprobate heart. That means a heart that's totally rejected God. It's nothing to do with God. It's angry at God. And hell is going to be full one day of people that hate God, it's full of sin, and there's no redemption. It's too late. They've been given a chance. So that is the unpardonable sin. People's attitude gets to the point where they hate God, want nothing to do with them. They want everything but God, what the Bible has to say. They don't want the love. They figure they got the worldly love. It says in James chapter 3, there's two types of wisdom. The worldly wisdom and there's the godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom can always look really good. Devil always makes things look good. But godly wisdom penetrates the heart. You know, things can look good on the outside. There's a lot of deceptiveness today about things looking good on the outside. Philosophies, teachings, on and on. But God goes after the heart. And, you know, we need to warn people before it's too late. So let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that we're saved by your grace. Thank you that you love us. Lord, where our hearts go out to those who aren't saved. Lord, that's why you laid this on my heart, is because there's people we feel like, Lord, it's too late. You know, what's going to happen to them? But we realize their promises, like it says in Deuteronomy 29, but your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than ours. And we see all the wickedness in the world is like a cesspool. It stinks. It really does. Spiritually speaking, Lord, we just pray that people would stop and think what they're doing before they get going in the day and put you first. And realize that, you know, this is not a bad thing after all. And I'm going to study God's word. I'm going to understand this better. And, you know, I'm going to pray. And as I'm being convicted, then I need to be praying for my loved ones. And not only that, I need to start loving people. And I need to be shown inside my life what I need to get the garbage, the rotten things out of my life to be clean before you. And when it comes, starts filling up again, we got to get rid of it over and over again. It's an going on cleanliness that we need in our lives. It just doesn't stop at one point and we're okay. I wish it was. It doesn't work like that. We are confessing our sins before you. We want to get things right. Lord, we pray for those who rejected you, walked away, loved their sin, and a pleasure in doing it, like it says in Romans chapter 1. Lord, we pray for our politicians, everybody who we meet, representatives, people that we know, family and loved ones, Lord, that they would turn to you. And help us do the best we can. That's all we can do in these last days that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Through his blood, amen.